Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. In the story of the Buddha's enlightenment, in the night of his enlightenment, Lord Mara came to him and tried to persuade him, trick him, deceive him, confuse him, scare him, seduce him, in order to prevent his enlightenment. And as we all know, the Buddha, in the story of the Buddha, just sat still and refused to go along with the enticements, the threats, the confusion. I want to give a one sentence job description for Mara, or of Mara's job, and talk a little bit about it. Mara's job is to make us look down. I'll repeat that. Mara's job is to make us look down. It really is that simple, although the means used are varied. The job is that simple. Mara's job is get us to despair and give up. There's a kind of passive despairing and giving up, and there's kind of active despairing and giving up. In the passive despairing and giving up, one just kind of sinks into a state of despondency and misery. And one doesn't do much of anything. In the active state of despairing and giving up, one goes off and does something else than training. One, as it were, abandons one's sitting place and does something else instead of the training. So you'd think that if this is Mara's job, then Mara must be a lot like the devil in Western religion. And indeed, originally, Satan was conceived of as the adversary. I think that might be what the word Satan, name Satan means, but it was basically conceived of as the adversary. And Mara is certainly, can be said to be spiritually the adversary. However, Mara is not thought of in Buddhism as the personification of evil. I should say, is not thought of as a personification of a real evil that is opposed to, that is opposed to and in a kind of war with a good God. Reverend Master used to say that Lord Mara is the least appreciated of the servants of the Eternal. And she occasionally pointed out that this was the earlier meaning of this adversary before the more dualistic view of a devil or Satan opposed to of absolute evil opposed to an absolutely good God was cooked up in the West. The earlier view was adversary who tests your faith. And that's the way Mara is understood to be in Buddhism. An adversary, a worthy adversary, and a skilled and utterly competent one, serious in intention. In other words, if Mara can possibly get you to look down, Mara's going to do it. That's Mara's job. And what is this in the service of? This is in the service of helping us develop genuine faith. And the level of spiritual resolve, not just willpower, this is something not willpower as it's normally thought of, because it's not a willful resolve. It's a quiet determination that one will not be deterred from one's spiritual goal. One will not be seduced or driven off the path that one is walking, regardless of how difficult it becomes. In times of turmoil and difficulty, Mara would seem to have a little extra, some extra tools in hand. Mara would seem to have a little extra oomph. I'm not so sure about that. Because one can give up out of complacency when everything seems to be going easily, just as well as giving up when things are difficult. Nonetheless, at the present time, we seem to be going through a kind of period in which there is an interesting mix of the difficult and the not so difficult. Just within our own little community here, in the relationships of members of the community, to the families, in relationship to one member of our community who died 2 years ago. We've been experiencing a good deal of death. One of our animals, much loved animals, just died. And I've noted through the years of my training, which is over 40 years now, that it's not uncommon for people who have either had a close call with death themselves or who have lost someone they were very close to. It can be a human being, it can be an animal as well. Within love, there isn't superior and inferior beings. Anyway, I've noticed that it's not uncommon for people to have a deep personal shake-up after a close call with death, or the death of someone they're very close to. In fact, it pretty well seems always to be the case. Sometimes people run away from training, from meditation in their pain. Such time. Sometimes people are driven deeper into training, taking refuge in meditation, in the pain of such events. Sometimes people swing between the two, doing a bit of running at one moment and pulling deeper within in another moment. In any case, it's very important if we wish to continue on the path to know that we cannot afford to turn the steering wheel over to Mara and allow ourselves to become the passive passenger in Mara's taxi cab. Because wherever it is we think we're going, Mara's very good at convincing us that it's going to be quite a nice place. But wherever it is we think we're going, if Mara's driving, you can bet that it's going to end up someplace very dark indeed. For once again, I repeat, Mara's job is to make us look down. I think that I'm fortunate that in my own life, whenever I've experienced the death of someone I was close to, it has driven me either towards Buddhism before I was a Buddhist, and after I became a Buddhist, more deeply into training. Nonetheless, I am familiar with the kind of wild impulses that can arise and strange thoughts that seem to come in from nowhere. And of course, the deep feelings that can arise at such time. Then it is that we really benefit from the grounding influence of good old sitting meditation. And we also benefit greatly from sitting with others at such time. We need to respect Mara and never discount the sincerity of effort that is being put in to get us to look down, nor undervalue it. When I was a very new monk, in fact, this might even have been just before I became a monk, one of the senior monks, I asked a question of one of the senior monks. We'd sat a retreat and I was having a lot of physical pain and a lot of difficulty sitting still. And I asked him, is this basically going to get any easier as I go along? I didn't put it like that, but will I develop the deeper faith that I need to do this? And he said, and I thought this was a wonderful answer. I still think it was a wonderful answer. He says, faith is like mushrooms. They grow in the dark. Or it grows in the dark. Faith is like mushrooms. It grows in the dark. The conditions under which Mara often flourishes are dark conditions. conditions where we're right up against it with regard to our mortality, the painfulness of existence, both physical and spiritual pain, often feeling caught in a web of external responsibilities, fatigue, loneliness, grief. This is all really good material that Mara makes the very best possible use of in doing its job. And if we allow it to do so, it gives us a wonderful exercise in faith. If we allow it to do so, it gives us a wonderful opportunity to deepen our training and for meditation to go deeper. Which again is why River Master said that Mara is the least appreciated of the servants of the Eternal. Not the mortal enemy of our training, not some personification of absolute evil. There is no such thing as absolute evil. There's nothing that exists that is outside the Eternal. Yet there clearly is an aspect of existence that stretches us and tests our resolve and our faith. No one develops deep faith and genuine certainty without going through these tests. Our most powerful tool in our time of deepest need is pure meditation, the opening of the heart to the Eternal, seeking the help of the Eternal in pure meditation, and the offering of everything on the altar of the heart, so that the Eternal can help us. Our resolve has to be subsumed within a context of looking toward that which is greater than ourselves, and giving the Eternal a chance to help us in our time of need.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all